I don't know if I can say this. Mm. I'm happy to cook like okonomiyaki, gyoza, norimaki, sushi roll, whatever. But that's not what we eat every day in Japan.
Right.
But they are popular menu for people from abroad.
Mm.
So we often make it. but what I really want to show them is more like not just traditional, but what we eat daily in Japan.
Right.
And there's so many different kind of healthy and seasonal dishes in Japan. But it's of course, they are visiting for a short time. They want to cook and eat what they want to eat. But for people who live in Japan, I want to show them more like how we eat every day.
Yeah.
And the seasonal food, and that's only very unique to Japan, or maybe the vegetable, fish, or whatever that they can only buy and try in Japan.
Hey there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides the sushi and sumo, anime and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on. People that are hungry for making it and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. What is happening, everyone? I hope you all are doing well and welcome to the podcast. But before we dive into this week's episode, I want to remind you listeners that I started a Ko-fi page. Any donation really helps me keep this podcast going, whether it be buying a drink for my guests or just simply some change to travel around Japan and to do these chats. I love what I'm doing, and I hope you hear something worthwhile. To those of you who already donated to this podcast, you guys rock. You know who you are, as I've already sent you replies. It just fires me up just to read the love and support for this project. You can check out my Ko-fi page at www.ko-fi.com/made-in-japan-podcast. One more time, it's www.ko-fi.com/made-in-japan-podcast. And so we are back with another episode. We are going to be talking about Japanese home cooking, and I was so fired up to meet these two individuals. They are a super dynamic duo, really, really energetic, and they are ready to just take on giving cooking lessons to both foreigners who live in Japan and foreigners who are visiting Japan. They are one Junko Takashima and Eiko Ishikawa, and they both created their own kitchen studio called JJ Kitchen in Tokyo. I literally just discovered them just through internet searching, just randomly, because I thought, you know, I never really interviewed anyone who offered such services to foreigner visitors, and it seems so logical. You know, most people come to visit this country. We all face it, it's for the food. But I do know that there's a lot of foreigners that live in this country that really want to learn how to cook. We say washoku, or Japanese cuisine. And I thought about this too earlier when I was younger. As an English teacher, I thought about doing cooking lessons in English, you know, in my apartment. But then when I searched and I was checking other websites, I noticed that there's a lot of English teachers that do that too. However, what they're doing, I think it's quite authentic. I think that's what people want. They want people that are interested to, you know, and who are also probably scared to go shopping at a supermarket in Japan and not knowing what to buy, not knowing to cook. Sure, you can look at on the website and they can tell you the recipes, but, you know, actually seeing how to cook Japanese food, that's something It's very, it can be very tricky. It's very, it looks so simple, but it's very precise the way Japanese home cooking is. And of course, it's very different from, you know, going to an izakaya or going to a ramen shop outside in public. I think Japanese families, you know, what families eat at home, they it's totally different. And it's, I would say it's one of the most healthiest types of food to eat. So yeah, without further ado, I'm just going to get into it. This is Junko Takashima and Eiko Ishikawa of JJ Kitchen in Tokyo. And here we go.
Thank you.
I want to know first, like, where are you guys from? You know, how did you grow up? Mm-hmm. And how, of course, how did you meet?
Okay, I'll start. Yeah. I was born and raised in Saba, Chiba Prefecture.
Okay.
And then I didn't get into college. So instead, went to Australia to study English.
Oh, immediately after high school?
Yes, after high school.
Okay.
For about 2 years.
Okay.
Then came back, got job in trading company. I wanted to use my English skill there. But actually what I did was more office work, and I didn't really speak English in the office. So
oh, okay.
Yeah, after a year, I was kind of bored and sure. I did change my job. And
sure.
I, when I was just, since I was small, I really liked being creative, making something, drawing picture or cooking, whatever, like that is creative.
Right.
So I thought about some job which
yeah.
can be creative. Then that time, graphic design and web design was kind of popular. So I took some course in a night school and then studied. Then got a job as a designer in a small design company in Tokyo.
Oh wow, okay.
So I moved to Tokyo.
Let's go back to Australia. Why Australia?
Australia?
What was the motivation for
Australia? Actually, I had a sister who lived there.
Oh,
okay. I don't know if it's good to say, I wanted to go to different country like United States
yeah.
or England,
yeah.
but my parents insisted because I have a sister then
right.
and for like they feel safe.
Sure.
So.
Did your sister actually take care of you when you were there?
Not really. We didn't really meet much.
But it was a good time though?
Yeah,
okay.
It was very good. I really liked it. It's really relaxed and laid back. I love the culture there.
Okay.
And I also got very... there are many people from other country in Sydney.
Right.
And it was first time for me to try Thai food, Vietnamese food, and
right.
different kind of like Greek food, Italian, whatever, Indian
wow,
food.
Okay.
Yeah, so then from my friends, I learned many dishes and cooking, so I really liked it there.
Wow, and then so then you went back and you had a kind of a revelation, I gotta change what I'm doing.
That time I was not thinking about
what a cute little clock.
It comes every hour.
Every
30
hour.
Minutes.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sure it'll be okay. Well, I haven't seen one of those clocks in a while.
Oh, sorry, I was talking about more.
Yeah.
緊張して.
That's fine.
Okay. I had always some dream living
yeah.
abroad and
yeah.
speaking English
sure.
and get some job where I can use my English.
Sure.
So, but actually when I was back, the bubble
bursted
here
right.
and the economy was really bad and it was so hard to get. So I gave up kind of job. And then, but then I went to the trading company. But it was not the job what I wanted.
So right,
I
right.
changed. But that time was not thinking about like cooking at all.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's, with Eiko, let's start with you, like okay, your background.
I was born in Japan, yeah. but just before I turned two, my parents and I moved to the United States
okay.
because my father was transferred.
Yep.
And then for 12 and a half years, I was living in the States. Mm. My father was transferred from California, Chicago, Texas, and New Jersey.
What was he doing?
He was working for a subsidiary of Panasonic.
Yes. That makes sense. Yes. Yeah.
Well, he's a member of the Panasonic. Okay. And then he was transferred over to the American company.
Right.
Oh. And so we were there for 13 years.
Okay. So do you remember your do you have any good memories of
yes. Time in America? My childhood, I spent the 80s in the okay. United States. So.
I'm an 80s kid too.
So I still like the 80s yeah. music and everything.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed Texas, I think.
It was, wow, yeah. okay.
And it's my first encounter with Tex-Mex food as well. So okay. I really like Mexican food right now as okay. well. And then I came back to Japan right during junior high.
Yeah.
And so there was a very big difference of like school rules and everything. Mm. But fortunately, I was able to go into a high school that was 2/3 of the students were returnees. So many people had the same experience that I did. So it was really nice living in, going to school in Kyoto.
Oh, okay.
Yes, as well. And then...
I'm curious, when you were in high school, did the returnees like you, did you guys just only stay together as like one little clique or group? Did you...
No, we had many different kinds of groups.
Oh, good. Okay. Because I always thought about that, because it's a very sensitive thing for those children, you know.
Exactly.
It's really hard for those kids to adjust, and I just... I see that. You know, you can clearly see the difference.
Right, you know, even because though, in the United States, you are raised... thinking that you're Japanese,
yes.
but then you come back to Japan and you're treated not Japanese
because like, what am I?
Yeah. So there's kind of like this identity crisis at one point in time. Yeah.
So how did your paths
join? We had a mutual friend. Okay. I was working in Osaka,
uh-huh.
and then I met this friend, and she moved to Tokyo 6 months before I did.
Okay, what's the motivation to go to Tokyo?
I was every 3 or 4 years I've changed jobs.
Okay. It's a normal thing these days.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like a bilingual secretary, but I was I had an offer to move to Tokyo.
Okay.
So I came here, but I didn't know anyone. So sure. I called up my friend and then we got together.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time my friend was working with Junko and so she introduced us. And
was this the trading company or
No. After the trading company I went to this design company.
Uh-huh.
Then I like Eiko, I changed my job. I mean, not the profession, but the company every
right.
yeah 3 years.
Yeah.
Yep. So from design company, IT company, another IT company.
Mm.
I don't know. Just you know how hard we work in IT company.
Yeah,
in
it's tough.
So every 3 years, I got really tired working too hard. Then I got Blake and went abroad, had a nice holiday for 1 month, and then get new job and then work for 3 years and then quit. Nothing like that.
So for you, Junko, what was your first impression of Eiko when you first met her?
Eiko like drinks more... a lot.
I still do.
Yeah.
So was she already drunk when you first met her?
She wasn't drunk, I guess, but yeah, she was friendly, and we both love eating, cooking, drinking.
That's awesome.
So we had a lot in common.
Wait, your first conversation was E.T.?
Eating.
Oh, eating! Oh,
I thought
I thought you meant E.T.
E.T.
the movie.
Sorry, because E.T. Sorry, my pronunciation is E.T.
No worries. But I think that's pretty cute. Like, hi, my name is Junko. I like E.T. Like, me too.
Eating.
With E.T. and eating. Oh, that's awesome.
But so were you, Ego, what was your first impression?
I mean, my first impression was that she's very beautiful.
Okay.
But but also she's very funny at the same time. Yeah, and okay. So it was very easy for me to talk to her as well. And as she mentioned, we both love to drink and eat. And then so
it's a perfect combination. Yeah,
so it's been over 10 years, I think, since we first met. But we still enjoy each other's company, and our mutual friend also joins us from time to time. And so
you just had your own, you're like the double dragon team duo threat.
But we never really thought of, you know, doing anything together.
No.
So when did that happen? Because naturally, I would think two people who have a share common, you know, enjoy going eating out and having, you know, exploring and eating different types of food. Right. Naturally, you'd want to do, you know, something with that passion.
Yes, after working in many years in this IT industry, I was kind of very tired, like sitting in front of PC for many hours. Mm. I've been working as a freelance for 10 years already, but still, I thought, I want to do something different. I don't want to stay home all the time in front of PC and like something bad for my eye and shoulder and everything. But I've been doing this for too many years, and I didn't really think I can do something else and that I can earn money for a living.
Uh-huh.
But one day when I went back home to my parents' place, I saw a TV program and they are showing this cooking class for inbound people, and this is something for me. I love cooking and I can speak a little English, and I also like welcoming people, and I also wanted to communicate more with people. This is something I should do it now.
Right.
I don't know why I thought that way, but then then I need to have a big kitchen, but it's so hard to have a big kitchen in Tokyo, especially in the central area. It's too expensive to afford. But if I could get the, how do I say it, loan in English?
Just a
loan from the bank. Then if I buy an apartment, maybe I can do it, so let's do it. And I bought this apartment, renovated everything.
We're here.
I can make my own website, but the problem was my English is not good enough. So for speaking, I mean teaching cooking, I thought it's okay.
Right.
They can see and they can understand. But for my website, I should write in a perfect English.
Yeah.
Then I thought about Eiko. She can help me.
She likes food too.
And collect my English. So I asked her.
Yeah.
And
so at first it was just me checking her English on the website.
Did you tell her about your business idea?
I did, but not so much in detail.
Okay.
So it was like the first time for me to learn everything was through her webpage.
Okay. Yeah. And so you were reading her website, and what were you thinking when you were
trying? I was like, this seems very interesting. Yeah. It'd be really something good for Junko to continue with. But then one day she asked me, oh, there's this part that says who I am or... And then like... Who we are. So like, if you want to join me because you like cooking, I can change that to who we are, and I can add a picture in your self-introduction paragraph. And I was like, okay, that seems like fun.
And then at that time, what were you doing as for work?
For work, I was in charge of human resources in a joint venture company.
Okay.
But I was also at a point in life where I was thinking to myself, this is not for me.
Yeah.
I want to do something that was relating to cooking as well. And so it was, the timing was perfect, I think, because I think it was in November or December of it, 1 year.
Yeah.
I was gradually thinking of maybe quitting my job.
Right.
And then it was maybe December or something that she asked me to start checking the translations and everything. So, and then like it was like a shift, I guess. And more of my time I wanted to spend at JJ Kitchen. And then something that was related to more like cooking.
Do you think was it Junko trying to charm you to join her into the business, or was it? Do you think? Was it just both mutually like, okay, we gotta do this?
Yeah, I was so lucky that I could have Eiko, but I could not push her to join me because I knew I wasn't sure if I can make business this. Mm-hmm. So I'm still a web designer. That's what I do for a living. Uh-huh. And this can be just hobby.
Right.
Could be. Yeah. Right. So till I will be sure this will be our business, I didn't want to push her to join me.
Okay.
But I think if I Eiko did not join me, maybe I had quit it after 6 months because
it's a lot of work
and it's a lot harder. It was scary, but it was harder than what I expected. I was too amakatta. I can do it easy. I love cooking, I love communicating.
Right.
And if I get this money, this can be good money.
We'll just keep it going.
Yeah, keep it going. We can be popular, but anyway, it's not that popular.
But you know, this idea is a very, the cooking lesson is a very attractive idea.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you do need a business plan. You need to find your target.
Right.
So when both of you finally realized, okay, let's do this together,
mm-hmm.
you have the kitchen set up.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what was your image? What was your vision for your kind of students? Like, was it going to be just the visitors or
mm-hmm.
locals? At first, what were you thinking?
To be honest, my website is made for more for inbound visitors.
Visitors, yeah.
But what I wanted are cooking class for local people. Oh yes, we got the answer. And then I'm very I don't know if I can say this.
Yeah.
I'm happy to cook like okonomiyaki, gyoza, norimaki, sushi roll, whatever. But that's not what we eat every day in Japan.
Right.
But they are popular menu for people from abroad.
Mm.
So we often make it. but what I really want to show them is more like not just traditional, but what we eat daily in Japan.
Right.
And there are so many different kind of healthy and seasonal dishes in Japan. But people who visit in Japan, they don't really know it and just sleep.
Mm.
But it's, of course, they are visiting for a short time. They want to cook and eat what they want to eat. But for people who live in Japan, I want to show them more like how we eat every day and the seasonal food, and that's very unique to Japan, or maybe the vegetable or fish or whatever that they can only buy and try in Japan.
And I think that's one of the main reasons I wanted to come here and interview both of you, is that when I Googled, because I thought, I was like, you know, I haven't interviewed anyone that's actually doing cooking lessons yet, and especially for visitors or people that live in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so even the first Google search, I wrote cooking lessons Tokyo, and your studio came up.
Really?
And I was like, oh, maybe because of just the living area was near me, but and it had like so many on the Google, you know, Google has like the reviews and like all these visitors, they were just like, oh yeah, this is a great cooking school. Mm-hmm. I'm like, huh. They kind of live near me.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go check this out. And when I checked out your page, I was like, okay, this is what people need. And I can say this as a foreigner living in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of foreigners that just, you know, they probably didn't come here, you know, on purpose. They came here maybe with their family and their partners are working.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just kind of stuck in Japan. And I think there's a lot of them now in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they want to eat the local, you know, the usual food that families want to eat.
Yeah.
And there's no service, I guess. There's no school for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, why aren't there more like you guys? So I think it was, you know, what you guys were doing is, that's exactly what it should have been done many years ago. But I, you know, but I think now with the internet and just with the technology now, everything is so easy to search for. It's easy to access. So I want to know your first students, quote unquote students. What were they? What were they interested in cooking? Wow. Do you remember?
Mainly just the visitors or like
resident?
Both. Yeah. Both. Yeah.
I think visitors. They.
What do we have? Sukiyaki?
Gyoza?
Maybe?
Gyoza,
sukiyaki?
Yeah, I see a lot of gyoza parties. Yeah, gyoza. It seems like really...
It's
not authentic. I'm upset when I got a request for gyoza and ramen,
right,
because that's not really Japanese, originally Japanese.
Right. I think about Taiwan or Hong Kong.
Chinese. Yeah. But people from overseas, they think ramen and the gyoza are Japanese food. I understand, because fried gyoza is not only Japan, but it's really popular, and not in Chinese country. They don't really
boil them.
Yeah, boil them. Right, right. So it's maybe very Japanese, but still, that's not the traditional Japanese food. So, okay. So I got gyoza, ramen. Okay.
Well, ramen, I can understand it. There's a big boom right now.
Also, ramen, you don't usually make it at home.
Yes, exactly. That's why we are saying this is authentic home style Japanese cooking, and ramen. Yes, my mom made sometimes, maybe once in 5 years, right, or something
But so when they come to your kitchen, you know, of course you make the gyoza or the ramen. Do you also kind of influence them to, by the way, we can, you know, we can teach you this food that we usually cook at home?
We try to make some side dishes, which is kind of easy, and what we normally eat, simple side dishes, like
do you do like simple like
cabbage and the
pickled cabbage, or kimpila, or something very Japanese.
And also for the miso soup, we always tell them how to make the dashi the authentic way.
Right,
so we
right.
use like the bonito flakes and the kombu kelp.
So you do also like homemade miso lessons?
Yeah,
as well?
We haven't had a lesson yet,
but we use our homemade miso.
Oh really? Oh, that would be great. I think that would be a great thing to do.
We made two workshops.
How long? Umeshu takes about
a year,
right?
A year,
okay, so
long. So not
you gotta come back.
Or they take it home. And we also make the ume cordial syrup.
So they can
enjoy that in maybe 2 weeks.
That's amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I know we're here in your table, and we have some wagashi sweets, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And do you also do like a
sweets
as well? Or?
We are not teaching in a cooking class, because it takes a lot of time to make everything. But sometimes we serve some homemade daifuku, which is mochi inside sweet bean and fruits or something like that.
Nice. And I wonder, do people also enjoy like the whole green tea?
Some do,
but some do not like the sweet bean paste.
And green tea,
it's like sometimes it's too bitter.
Too bitter for them. Oh, okay.
So recently we've been serving like a Japanese style ice cream
instead. Yeah.
the matcha ice cream?
Also vanilla ice cream with kinako, that's a roasted soybean, and
brown sugar syrup.
Something like that.
I also noticed that you guys do supermarket shopping tours.
I think
that's genius.
Yeah, so after lessons, some people like to buy the items that we use during the lesson.
So you do it after the lesson, not beforehand. So what do? You go to the supermarket and
we point out what we used.
Okay.
And sometimes it's too heavy for them to carry back home, so they take pictures of what we used, mm-hmm. and they buy it in a supermarket near their home.
See, you know, when I first came to Japan, you know, I always wanted that. I think before the internet, I've mm-hmm. always wanted, because I didn't know Japanese, mm-hmm. and it's very much like a risk taking yeah. thing. You look at a row of sweets or senbei crackers, right. or you don't know what flavor. Mm-hmm. You just kind of close your eyes and pick mm-hmm. one. If it tastes good, it does taste good. But if it doesn't, it's like kind of put it to the side.
No idea.
So I think for first timers mm. coming to Japan, I think that's just like a really cool right. service. Yeah. Mm. So this season, what are the popular, for you guys, what classes are you cooking now?
This season, actually, when like, we could start the course lesson. We want to mm-hmm. have seasonal menus. Mm-hmm. And spring would be more like mountain vegetable.
Oh, okay.
And
bamboo shoes.
Bamboo shoes. Awesome. Something like bamboo shoes or fish. Then it's snappers. But that is like in season in spring.
Wow, okay.
Something like that. But they are not on a request.
Right.
So we keep making gyoza.
I don't know how many gyozas we made this year.
Yeah, we are really professional now.
What is the maximum number of people that can come?
We set 4 maximum, but okay. Sometimes we have family.
Oh, right,
then
right.
5, 6.
6, okay. Mm-hmm. And how is it different for you teaching like a private, like one person as mm-hmm. opposed to the family? Mm-hmm. Is the energy different or...?
Families, they are, I think it's always fun.
Yeah.
I like to see the father and mother show the kids
how to use a knife.
Oh, good. Okay.
But also we have like many couples coming in.
Mm. Okay.
And it's interesting because usually like the gentlemen are more like precise and they're like... Mm. They're like really, really, you know, like cutting small pieces, and where the wife or the ladies would be like just like going at it. It's like the personalities are very different,
right,
but they always sort of like, I don't know, like they like a good match, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple.
Mm. Yeah.
Huh.
And we also have like brothers and sister that came the other day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're like friends, and so we have like a lot of different kinds of people coming in, but it's always I think
always nice,
nice people.
Nice, loving,
yes.
Good people.
Mm. I would imagine, I mean, if they're going to search for you too, I think mm-hmm. they probably have some kind of motivation to mm-hmm. wanting to cook Japanese mm-hmm. food. But so okay, you're doing a lot of okonomiyaki, a lot of gyoza. In your private time, what's your favorite besides Japanese cuisine? What kind
besides.
Of food do you like to cook by yourself or you know family or something?
We both love hot and spicy food.
Okay.
And wine.
Okay.
So something go with wine.
It's a lot of food.
Specific dishes, but we often cook, what is that, me, Thai, Korean, Chinese,
wow, okay.
Italian as well.
Mm. And for me, maybe like a Mexican or...
Yeah, you mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, and okay. I also really like the Moroccan cuisine as well, with lots of spices.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm very... I love all these foods, of course. I love any food, but... So I'm noticing now, Mexican is becoming popular. Mm-hmm. Thai is really popular.
Yes.
What would you think would be the next cuisine that would come to Japan in the future? Because there's a lot of, it goes in like
right.
cycles.
I don't know if the boom already finished, but what's that? Peru.
So South American. Okay.
Dishes, especially from Peru, because there are many, many Chinese and Japanese people
right.
living in. Then the dish got some Asian influence. So
right, right.
It's not just meat and like that, but they're like ceviche. But
yes.
More like
raw fish.
Raw fish, marinade. And I forgot the name, but they have a dish with grilled beef and potato, but they use soy sauce in it. Mm.
Do you have any recommendations of a Peruvian restaurant?
Yeah, there is one in Africa. Where was the name? But there is one in Shibuya, okay. Sakuragaoka area.
Okay. Mm.
They had a quite good,
good food.
Yes. Huh,
South America then.
South America. Mm. Can be.
Personally, I hope, because of my background, and it's starting to become popular in the United States, slowly bubbling, but Filipino food. Mm. And I always tell even my students and friends, you know, most people feel like asking, what is Filipino food?
Chicken adobo.
Adobo, right. But like I always tell them, well, have you ever been to Okinawa?
Oh,
and I tell, especially Japanese, I say that, you know, Okinawan cuisine has a very close connection with Filipino food. Mm. I really believe the migration from Malaysia, Philippines, and went all the way to the Okinawan islands. Because the taste and the flavors with vinegar and brown sugar and pork, it's just... When I first ate rafti, I was like, this is my Filipino food from my home.
Oh, yeah. Really?
With rice, you know? Yeah. And but I also, in Philippines, we would have mango. Mm. Mango with hot rice.
Yes. Okay.
And then pork or pineapple. Mm. And, you know, fruits and pork. And just like the sauces, as you said, adobo. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like hoping Filipino food will come.
Restaurants in Tokyo?
Yeah.
I've been recommended some, and I've never been because I can cook at my home.
Right.
And, like if I go to the Philippines, I can grab some, you know, some ingredients and just come back and I'll just cook for the family, whatever.
That's nice.
But I really hope there would be some kind of a media boom, media trend with Filipino food. And what's as funny is like in Ministop. You have the Ministop is famous for the soft cream,
right?
And they have haro haro soft
cream. Yes, yes.
Haro haro is Filipino, that's not halo halo. It's just soft cream with mango cubes in it. Haro haro in the Philippines, it's huge, and there's a lot of course there's the ice cream, which usually ended with coconut.
Yeah.
And then, do you know ube? Ube is a purple potato.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And then you can that's also can become an ice cream. And so it's like white ice, vanilla ice cream and purple ice cream with the mango. Mm. And then with tapioca. Oh. And then with like sweets jelly. It's just piled up.
Wow.
And it's like a really mega shaved ice ice cream bomb.
Wow.
And it's super high calorie, but it's super delicious.
Oh, wow.
Especially at a hot place. If you just Google Philippine and then halo halo. Yeah.
Maybe you can open a halo halo shop in Tokyo, then it gets popular.
Yeah, I'm sharing. Just give me a percent of the profit. I'm sharing my idea.
We need to start eating halo halo.
Because even people already have the name halo halo in Japan, so why don't you show them authentic halo halo? So,
aside from Japanese cuisine, we should have like an international menu as well.
Right.
I was wondering that. What for now?
Maybe we can have European nights and then you can cook here.
Ooh, that's a big task. I might take a whole day. It could take 6 hours. Because a lot of Filipino cooking is slow cooking.
Lots of simmering.
Lots of simmering from the morning time. You know,
help you.
But I think I want to know in the future. What do you want to do? Like any ideas? What do you want to do with your kitchen studio? Mm-hmm. I think you have a good range for your audience, your people who are interested. You have a good focus, but for what you want to do in cooking, what's the next step for both of you?
Besides the going abroad, I actually wanted like make this place more like a salon so that the local means the resident who wants to learn Japanese cooking also come here to just enjoy and meet not only the people from abroad, but the local Japanese, mm-hmm. and feel comfortable, feel at home, and how do I say it? Something I wrote here. I forgot what I wrote. That's something I want to do here, not just for
cooking, cooking, but for other.
That's why we sometimes have parties here.
Okay.
To make the local people and then the people abroad but living here get together.
Okay. And then just create a good community. You have a sense of
we want to do it.
Strength the community. Mm. Not bad. And probably in the future have, instead of like a language exchange, mm-hmm. a cuisine exchange, mm-hmm. right. you know, change mm-hmm. sharing yeah. each other's food. Mm-hmm. Oh man, that's cool. I want to know, lastly, mm-hmm. For you guys, why JJ Kitchen? What is the name? I was looking at this. I'm like, why? I've been, to be honest, I've been just staring at that.
This is not so interesting, but should I talk? Originally, the name was my name is Junko.
Yeah.
So Junko's Japanese Kitchen, and because I'm web designer, I thought about SEO, and I should use Japanese, and maybe for them to remember my name, I should use my name. So that was just Junko's Japanese Kitchen.
Okay.
But when I was thinking about the logo, it's too long. It doesn't look nice.
I see. So, but I mean, JJ sounds catchy.
Yeah,
I just figured, I'm like, okay, there's the Junko, but where's the E?
because I joined after.
Okay.
Yeah. So now, I don't say this is Junko's Japanese. It's maybe like Joyful Japanese, because A could join.
Okay.
So
okay.
I don't know what it's going to be. Joyful?
Joyful, yeah.
To enjoy. Kitchen.
That'll be the next big meeting topic. Well, seriously, Junko and Ego, thank you for having me, and thank you for letting me hear your story, and hopefully I can help you reach out to more people that are interested in cooking in Japan.
I think that would be very nice.
Would you like to, tell the listeners, you know, your handle, like where they can find you on social media?
Oh, yes, we have Facebook.
Mm-hmm. JJ.kitchen.tokyo is our Facebook and Instagram account, yes.
Okay.
And also we are, you can find our website.
Mm-hmm.
And are you doing, can you also connect with people through Airbnb as well? Or?
We haven't used Airbnb, but TripAdvisor and Air Kitchen.
Okay. Well, anyways, I hope I can help you guys with that. And
thank you.
Yeah, and I'm just staring at these delicious looking sweets.
Oh, please have. Oh,
please enjoy.
But anyways, yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
A big thank you to Junko and Eiko for having the time and having me over to chat about their kitchen studio. You can check out their website again. It's www.jj-kitchen.tokyo. I just also thought their kitchen studio looked pristine, looked awesome. It looked like a kitchen studio that you would see at a TV food cooking show or TV, one of those food cooking channels. So yeah, check out their lessons if you're really interested in trying to learn some Japanese home cooking. Yeah, I'm sure they can really help you out. You're listening to Made in Japan podcast, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. Check me out on my social media at Made in Japan podcast. I'm usually on Instagram and Facebook. And feel free to send me an email if you have any questions or comments or any feedback about my podcast. Feel free to send me an email. It's japanmademepodcast@gmail.com. Also, I had one listener reach out to me and ask me, and the answer is yes.
I do produce my own music. The intro and the outro to this podcast are made by me. And so I'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Till then, be safe, be well. Peace out.